trying to really just pray and just stay out of the way, to be honest with you, and just maybe a little bit different message this morning, maybe from along the lines where we have been. But if you'd like to, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Sure is good to see everyone. Mean that from the bottom of my heart. Always excited to see you, looking forward to it, and always praying that the Lord would give what we need. I know He knows what you need, and everybody here has a different need, so many different stages of life and different things that's going on, and try to pray along those lines also. And I do want to mention real quickly also, we are having a Bible school meeting after church, just a quick one after church today. So all those who are helping in Bible school, please stay after for just a few minutes and what have you. But just had several folks on my heart this week, thinking about in our church, when you look at the prayer requests and things going on and in lives of people, it just seems like there's been a lot of things going on in the lives of some of our older ones, and it just really made me think about that. I kind of count myself in the middle, so to speak. I'd say being 50, kind of right in the middle of our age group here, and I don't ever want to speak or try to preach outside of my experience, if that's the right way to say that, because we all have an experience, I guess, up to a certain point in our life. We've experienced things, and we can learn from those things and grow from those things, but it's most important that we gain what we can from the Word of God, because that will prepare us for the next step. I mean, there's things that's going on in our lives that we can't control, we have no control over, but if we'll really stop and look what the Word of God says about things, it will prepare us for the next thing that's coming in life. And I tell you, that gives me some joy and some relief in my heart, because there's so many things that if I could control it, I would say, let's fix this, let's do this, and if this will make it better, or if this will make this person happy or what have you, let's just fix it, let's just do it. But we know in reality that God has His plan and His creation, how things are set up, and I think one of the hardest things to come to terms with in some ways is that we're not going to live forever. You know, it's kind of sometimes we think about it, not going to live forever on this earth, let's put it that way, and what we see. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, that would be a very fearful thing. And even if you are ready to meet Him, a very fearful thing. But I do thank God for the grace that He gives, In looking at this here, it really gave me some consolation, some things to look at, because age doesn't really matter when it goes into, when it turns into going into eternity. We don't know. It's not by age. It's by the Lord's will, believe it or not. It's designed by Him, and He knows those things that we don't know. And it's just, it's so imperative that we be ready to meet the Lord. If I ask you, are you ready to meet the Lord? You know, you might pause and say, I'm ready to meet Him. Now, I'm not asking you if you're saved. If you're saved, you should be ready to meet Him. But just because you're saved doesn't mean, hey, I'm ready to meet Him. There could be some things in your life you need to get out of the way. You know, I find this interesting. I give this analogy. I've been trying to figure out the right way to word it, but I think it'll lead into the message this morning. And I think it's interesting sometimes how the Lord gives us things, what we do daily, as a way to help us in the ministry. I think He did that with Paul, and I feel like He's done that with me. And if somebody were to ask me, say, well, what do you do when you're not preaching or studying? What do you do? Like, if you do like a day job, what do you do? And I take pictures of houses. I take pictures of things, and, you know, I try to show it in the best light that I can show it. I want you to see this house, and I want you to live here. And so what do you do on Sunday, preacher? I do the same thing. I tell you about a mansion over there, and I want you to want to be there. It's amazing. You look at Paul, what was Paul? He's a tent maker. Tabernacle, he's a tent maker. So what, you look at the analogy that we're going to see here today, see what that means. And so the tabernacle is compared to our bodies. You know what a tabernacle is? A tent. It's temporal. It's a temporary thing. It's not a full thing. You know, I've seen some places and get to go into some places and see some nice ones and then see some rough ones, you know, and kind of see it like that. When I get a call for like a new, when they say this is a new construction, Brother Curtis, I get excited because usually that means it's empty. You can get around good. You can see things. And it just makes it for a nicer picture. And then sometimes you have people say, do the best you can with this one because it's got so much clutter and stuff in it. But, you know, I think our lives are a lot that same way. If you slow down and look at it again, using the tabernacle as an example, tabernacle is a tent. That's a temporary body. That's a temporary housing. And that's all you and I have in these things right here. They're not made to last forever, Brother Allen. They're not going to. We know that up front. But the main thing you need to know this morning is that you do have a permanent residence to go to. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the topic of there is no place like home. No place like home. And I want us to know we hadn't got there yet. There's more to life than what we see. And we look at here, at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, looking at verses 1 through 9. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning, God, just very needy of you, always, every single day, not just on Sundays, not just during preaching, but every day, all day long, God, just in stand in need of what you have to offer. I know that I can do nothing in and of myself and don't even try, God, but I thank you for what you give to me in your word, what you give to us, what you show us, Lord, and I just pray that this be a blessing. God, I pray that you deliver it, God, as you've sent it to me, as Paul has pinned this down, the way it's written here, God, and for our edification, for our help, God, I just pray that you help the church with this morning. So many different applications could be made, but God, I just pray that you, that your will be done. You do. You accomplish, Lord, what you want to accomplish. I'm so thankful for everyone that's here. No one's here by mistake this morning, and God, I just pray that you fulfill what they need. I pray that each one be willing to do what they need to do, God, to be obedient to you, just to put their faith and their confidence and trust in you. God, those that are here this morning that are lost, I pray for them specifically, Lord, and God, that you would just really touch their heart, help them to see the need, the importance of being saved, help them to see their lost condition, God, the importance of being saved and what it means. God, I pray for those, Lord, just facing so many different things in life, that you grant that grace and that help. And Lord, we find that in your word, in the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you look at right here, the way that it starts out, Paul is giving some explanation here. This is the importance of the resurrection. I know we've had our Easter service sometime back and what have you, but I want us to see the importance of this this morning here, and I have a little subtitle in my Bible here. It says, "The Assurance of the Resurrection." Now, just as we look back on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we can take consolation or glory in that he rose from the grave, we need to understand what that means for you and I. It wasn't just for him. The reason he went to the cross was for our sin to be our sacrifice. The reason he rose from the dead is so that you and I can raise also. That's being victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now, only Jesus could do that. He had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again.
And we don't have that, but we need that. Every single one of us need that, because here's the thing, it's going to happen one day. You and I are going to face the Lord one day, one way or the other. My prayer, my hope, everybody that I get to come in contact with, to preach to them, to share to them the truth, the importance of the gospel of accepting Jesus Christ. It's not about, I've heard it said many times also, it's not about raising self up, it's about raising Jesus Christ up. That's who you need to see. That's the one. That's the one you need to be focused on this morning. And see, that's how Paul places this here. And he's just being honest. You know, again, I'll say it like this. A lot of times when we're younger, we don't think about things, about death, or think about the seriousness of things or the possible imminent possibility of not living anymore. We don't see it that way often. We kind of cruise through life and just do things and take things for granted. But as you get older, your point of view does change. And again, I'm not trying to, preach out of my experience or anything like that outside of it. But as I have gotten older, I do recognize and know that I don't bounce back as fast as I used to. I don't. I was talking to Brother Dale the other day, you know, and he said, once I started falling, I kept falling. I was like, yeah, man, I can see what you're saying there. I've noticed that even in my life, I don't fall gracefully. But some people can fall. Students on campus, they can fall and bounce back up. Their number one concern is, I hope nobody saw me. I'm embarrassed. I hope nobody saw me. My number one concern is, I hope nothing is missing when I get up. I mean, it hurts. And so if I'm about the mid-grade, I know as you get older, that concern is more and more valid. I get it. It makes sense. But aren't you glad this tabernacle, Brother Norman, this tent is just like it says, it's temporal. It ain't meant to be forever. This is not our forever home. What we see here on this earth is not our forever home. This body that we are in is not our forever home. Praise the Lord. Might not think about that when you're younger, but as you get older, you think about things a little bit more. As you get closer to the Lord, then my Lord grows more precious to me, as the song says. Amen. He does. Now, what Paul is saying here in verse number 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know what? This body is going to dissolve. The young man, the young person will say, I don't want this body to dissolve. I want to live forever. And that's the desire that we should have. I mean, who doesn't want to live forever? But as you get older, you start realizing maybe with aches and pains and things that are going on, man, I'd just soon lay this tabernacle down and go to an eternal home somewhere else where there is no more of this, Brother Ben. There's no more of this. You know, I'll say this. I have seen some very nice places. I tell Brandy all the time, I can't wait to show you this one. I can't wait for you to see this one. Wow, what architect has put this together and how beautiful it is and whatever. But did you know every single one of those is temporal? Every single one of them. The nice as they could be or what have you, they're still temporal. They will not last forever. And I look at it this way too, and trying to upkeep our house, and our house ain't like some of those houses. But upkeep is expensive. That's what I look at anymore. I see, like, my goodness, yes, this is nice today. What a beautiful house it is today. The electricians, the plumbers, the contractors, everybody has just left. The landscapers, usually one of the last to go through. The inspections has passed, and you see this turnkey house, like, my goodness, this is a beautiful place. But you know, if somebody doesn't move in and do something with that, it's just going to start degrading instantly. Instantly. You think about the upkeep that it takes materially, but I want us to think about our bodies, talking about the tabernacle of our bodies. You know, it takes spiritual upkeep in these bodies. You think about the turnkey day, if I can use that as an illustration, the turnkey day when you were saved. You know, it takes maintenance from that very second on, or that house, this body is just going to do this spiritually. It's a marvelous thing to be saved. It's a sad thing to be saved and not upkeep that tabernacle. It takes something. It takes some commitment. It takes some work and doing things and not just letting it go down. You see here the illustration that is also given. He's talking about these bodies. If this body, if our earthly house, if this tabernacle were dissolved, these bodies will dissolve. We start out as dust and we turn back into dust. That's what happens. This body. Now I want us to know and understand this body is not the soul living in it. It's just the house. It's the temporal. This outside part that you see is a temporary thing. The inside part is an eternal thing. It's going to live forever somewhere. Somewhere. You think about it like this, using the illustration of a tabernacle or a tent. That's a temporal housing. Can you imagine the Old Testament, how they used to move the tabernacle from one place to the other? It was made that way so it could be easily moved. Abraham was on the go all the time. In the Old Testament, they were always moving. So it had to be a temporal. It had to be something you could put up and take down and you could keep moving. Think about how life is. These bodies, that's how we are in these bodies. We move through life. Pick up and we move through life sometimes. You see that illustration. What you're going to see here in heaven, it is a permanent fixture. Now you think about having a place to live. This soul needs a place to live. It has to be somewhere. And I want us to understand there's the importance of that. Verse number 2, it says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." We want to lay this thing down and have that new permanent home. I think, Brother Allen, sometimes you get to move around too much. You're like, I just want to stay still. I've seen a lot of people just move, move, move. It's like they're on the go all the time. And you get tired and it's just like, I just want to sit still for just a minute. You know, I do like to travel and see places and see things and be able to say, you know, that was kind of neat. I got to see that. You see something on TV, you see something on the news, you're like, man, it's something to be able to go and see that. But one thing I love the most is being able to call this place home. Not even talking about just my own house. I'm thankful for that. But I'm talking about this area. I am so thankful to live where I live. The exposure that we have and the protection that we have, the Word of God that we have that is prevalent. It's not like that in a lot of other places. It's just not. And if we're not careful, we'll take that for granted. It's something to never take for granted. But for this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That new body. He's talking about a new heavenly house. Where you can think about it, it's hard for us to see and understand. I know the nicest thing that we can see here pales in comparison to what we have over there. Again, younger folks might have a hard time maybe appreciating this, but I think the older ones will appreciate it. Can you imagine never growing old? We can't really see it here. Can't really comprehend that here. But as you get older, we groan earnestly. That means to be oppressed or afflicted. When you think about the word groan, that doesn't sound good, does it? But that's a desiring to want something else. I want that new body. And as life goes on, Brother Norman, also we get to the place that we have more over there than what we have here. We really do. Isn't that amazing how the Lord works that out? We have a desire that we want to live, and we should have that desire, but there's also a desire on the inside, even at my age. I want to go. You know, Brother Nathan, the number one thing that wants me to stay here beside my family is the people that are lost. The number one thing, the reason it would be that I would have any pause in praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly, it's because of the lost people that's in my life. Because I want them to be able to go too. Now here's the thing, if I knew every single one of us in here was ready to go, I'd say, let's line up and let's go. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, that's the goal. You think about traveling and seeing that place that you'll never grow old, no more aches and pains, no more sins, no more temptations, none of that. It's gone. So that's what Paul's talking about here. This groaning. People that have tried to and walked with the Lord. You look at Job 14:1, it says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." That's what this life has to offer. It's hard sometimes when you go through a valley and then all of a sudden you're riding on top of the mountain and you know what your next thought is? Where's the next valley? Sister Judy, that's what happens. It's like this, isn't it? That's hard. That's hard. It's hard to live like that, but that's the way it is in these bodies. That's the way it is in this world, on this earth. But you imagine in heaven, it ain't like that. It's good all the time. Sun is shining all the time, the S-O-N, all the time. Think it looks nice out there? Wait till you see him. He's shining all the time. You don't have to have any light there. He's the light there. Think about the importance of Jesus Christ. Verses 3 and 4, again, it says here, if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And what does that mean? What's that talking about? So, read verse number 4. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Brother Patrick, let's look at it like this. Let's say this is a temporal tabernacle, the body that you live in. It's a tabernacle. The Bible describes it as such, as a tent. It's temporary. That's what it's saying. Bible also refers to us as being a temple. The body is a temple. We're supposed to take care of it and live appropriately according to the Word of God. That's what it teaches. But this body is temporal, but that soul is permanent. So now what happens if this temporal body is taken away? It needs to be clothed with something else, that we not be found naked when Jesus comes back or when we die. You imagine how sad that would be if your soul did not have a place to go after death. Physically, you look at it. I mean, think about what it's teaching here. Now, when a person accepts Jesus Christ, they have a new body. They have a new promise. They have a new hope. They have a new house. And what Paul's saying here, it's not a house that's temporary. It's not a tabernacle. It's from heaven. And you know, in heaven, things aren't temporary up there. Everything is eternal. The saved person, when they pass, when they die, you think about how it was in Lazarus. He was carried into Abraham's bosom. But see, that's past. You think about you and us now today, if we were to pass after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Heaven. That's what it means, heaven. We're clothed. God gives us a new body. Well, what about the lost man? Lost man doesn't have that. That's what being found naked means. That soul is like, what do I do? It's called a place called hell is what that refers to. Again, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Being clothed, being accepted of Jesus Christ is what it's talking about. It's talking about accepting him. It's talking about being born again. It's talking about being saved. If we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That word mortality, that means death. That means dying. That means if you are clothed upon with the Lord Jesus Christ, death is swallowed up. It's gone. There's no more death. Now, if there's one thing that you would want to lay down as a saved person, it's your flesh. I mean, you really think about it. Slow down and think about it, fellas. I mean, slow down and think about what I'm talking about here. If there's one thing that has held you back in your life, you know what it is? It's your flesh. Now imagine if that inner man could have his way following Jesus Christ without the flesh hindering it. Anybody here want to keep the flesh under those terms? Brother Raymond, wouldn't you be willing to trade the flesh? Get rid of that and not be hindered? I'd be willing to do that. And you know what? That's what Jesus Christ offered for everybody. So you know what? I will give you the option. I'll give you the choice. If you want to lay that flesh down and accept me, I'll raise you up and I'll give you a new body that's not susceptible to sin. I'll give you a new body that'll never die. Man, I like that. I'm enjoying this. I'm thankful for what the Lord has given this morning and being clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. 1 John 3:2, and it says here, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. It's not talking about future tense. It's talking about right now. Sometimes we get things way out in the future somewhere, but once you accept Christ, you are the Son of God right now. That's not something to happen future. He's talking about right now, instantly. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, that inward man has a desire to do what's right, wants to do what's right. That outer man is working against it constantly. That's a fight. That's the struggle. Which one wins? You've heard it. The one that we feed most is the one that wins, and that's just how it is. That's just how it works. That's how it's going to be. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You think about Jesus. You think about his new body. When they got to see him, those disciples there at the first, they got to see him. They didn't really recognize him at first. And then after he spoke, they realized who he was. He had a new body. And then when he showed them the scars, they were like, and he confirmed who he was. They knew. Here's the thing. It's one thing to see Jesus and what he did and what he's done for us and kind of look at it his way, the heroes. But guess what? You and I get to do it too. We get to see him and his majesty as he is. And then we get to be like him. You know what a gift that is? You can say amen right there, shout right there, cry right there, whatever. I mean, this is what it's about. This ain't going to last forever. I could fall out before we leave here today. So what would my hope be in? That, what I just shared? If you ever lose that, if you ever lose joy in that, you have no joy. That's my joy. Knowing that no matter what happens in this life, I have an eternal home over there. I get excited about that. I'm thankful for that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Again, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mortality is going to be swallowed up of life. I look again, 1 Corinthians 15:55. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Almost taunting him the way Paul wrote that. You know, the young person might not see that as something to be excited about, but as we get older, you'll get more and more excited about it. The young person that gets diagnosed with something terminally, see, this isn't an age thing. It's knowing you're standing with God. That's what's most important. Think about the 20-year-old last week in that car wreck. He wasn't thinking about that, I about guarantee you. I don't know the person. But he probably wasn't thinking about going into eternity that day. We don't know. We don't know. I do know one thing. There's no place like home. I know one thing. That's something you need to know. You need to know. I hurry on. And look here at verse number 5. And it says here, Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He that worked this. Who made this possible? That word wrought, that means worked. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now I like this. I've mentioned this, I believe, here before and preached along these lines and talked about that. But what is the earnest of the Spirit? What does that mean? What does that mean? How many of you bought a house? Wow, you got money. No, I'm just kidding. You'll see where I'm going. If you bought a house, one of the first things they're going to ask you is, how serious are you about this house? Well, I'm serious. I want it. I want to buy this house. I want it. Well, how serious are you? Well, if nothing happens, I plan on going to the bank, getting a loan, and doing it. No. How much money are you going to put down? How much earnest are you going to put down that you're committed to buying this property so somebody else doesn't buy? And there's a dependency upon that right there. How much you're willing to put down indicates how bad you want it. How much do you want that house so somebody else can't take it? Somebody else can't come along, make an offer, and beat you out of it. And you see, when the Lord, the way he worked things out, he placed the earnest of his Spirit inside us. You know what that means? You know what that really means? He said, I want you so bad that while you live in this temporary tent, this tabernacle, I'm going to place the earnest right here. Right here. And anytime you feel discouraged, anytime you feel like, I don't know what's happening, what's going on, that earnest on the inside, Brother Curtis, is right here. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you. I love you. I did everything I could to have you and to secure you. That's what the earnest of the Spirit is. Now, if a person doesn't have that, if they've not accepted Him and they don't have that, they don't know what that means. You know, the most blessed thing I've heard this morning so far, beside that wonderful singing, Brother Norman said, I have peace. I have peace. That's the earnest of the Spirit. Tell you, a lost man under circumstances would have no peace. Couldn't have. Wondering what's going to happen, wondering what's going on, what's going to happen next. Talking about peace that passes all understanding. That's the kind of peace that God gives to us in our hearts. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. So that's saying while we are here in this body, we're not with Him. It's talking about where the soul lives. This is where the soul is living. If you're alive, this is where your soul is. If you're wondering where it's at, it's right here. What happens to that soul when you die? It depends on your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. It's plain. It's plain that way. If you want a heavenly tabernacle or a heavenly home that's eternal in the heavens, you accept Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to be. The person who has not accepted Jesus Christ, their soul goes to hell. Well, that's not popular preaching. It's the truth. You need to know that. When you're making decisions, you need to know. That's what he's talking about here. When this body's dissolved, your soul is going to go somewhere. It's either heaven with the Lord, or it's hell, where the devil and his angels are going to be forever and ever. Verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are yet at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, verse number 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I think that's the hardest thing that people come to terms with or try to come to terms with is what they're putting their faith and their confidence in. You have to make that decision for yourself. I can't talk you into it. I wouldn't try to talk you out of it. But what he's saying here, until we see him face to face, we live by faith. We're trusting in the Word of God and what it says. Every Christian has to get to the place that they are willing, if they want to live a godly life, that they're willing to put everything they have on the Word of God. Sometimes people, they'll put on the Word of God, I'm saved, and then they'll put nothing else on it. I have a problem with that. If you have truly put your life on the Word of God, it's going to go beyond, I'm saved, and that's it. There'll be some evidence of it. There'll be some fruit that comes from it. Verse number 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's the desire. That's the saved person's desire. Paul will go on to say that it was more expedient for him to stay here to preach the gospel. Paul was ready to go. Paul wanted to go, but Paul knew he needed to preach the gospel so others could go with him. What a desire to have. Paul, here's the thing about Paul. Let me tell you a secret about Paul. Paul was in the third heaven. He saw what it looked like. Where you and I might kind of wonder, Brother Patrick, he saw. And he couldn't utter it, things that couldn't be uttered. So if there was one that knew where he was going, it was Paul. But he knew it was important for him to say and preach the Word of God. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We keep on keeping on for the Word of God, for his work. I'm going to close with this here in John 14, 1 and 3. This is Jesus talking to his brethren. And that was a hard group to preach to. It was a hard group to try to win over. But John 14, 1 through 3, you look at how he words this. There are so many people that will say, I believe in a higher power. There are so many people that will say, I believe there is a God. There are many people that will keep it so generic that they really truly don't know what they believe in. They just think that something's out there. They just believe or feel that something's out there. They would admit that. But let me tell you, believing that there is a higher power out there is not salvation. That won't get you there. Trying to live a good life will not get you there. Trying to make your own salvation, trying to make up your own righteousness is not going to get you there. It's more than that. These verses here, they ring in my heart so many times. Because if you realize who Jesus was talking to, he was talking to his brethren. He's talking to his Jewish brethren. He knew that they believed in God. He knew that. But this is what he had to say to them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus had gone through, done these miracles. They were skeptical of him. These are people that were part of the Sanhedrin. They were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. They were steeped in tradition. They were steeped in the law. They were steeped in religion. And that is the hardest people you will ever try to reach in your life. You know how easy it is to witness to somebody that's never heard the gospel before? They'll listen to you like that's the greatest thing they've ever heard. I've seen it. People from other religions, like, really? I mean, they will take that in. Now, you can preach to people maybe that's heard this for years and have not accepted Christ, and they'll look at you like, I'm doing all the things just like everybody else here is doing. I'm doing all the things. So I'm good, right? No, you're not. The Bible teaches us we're none good, no, not one. Don't ever think that when something bad happens to a good person, that's a sad thing. Here's the thing, we're none good. The best way that you and I can look at this, it's amazing that God is as merciful to us as he is, because we none deserve anything. We look at it the wrong way so many times. But you see these folks here that Jesus was talking to, you talking about having a burden for your own brethren especially. He looked at them. He knew what they were about. They're on the wrong side of things. They thought they were toeing the line, but they weren't. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. He's telling them, listen to what I have to say to you. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm here. He says, you believe in God. You believe in him. That's great. Because he's there. God the Father's right there. He's there. But then the next statement is where he lost every single one of them. Believe in me also. And you know what they said at that point? You're a blasphemer. You are making yourself as God. You're saying you are God. And that's what put him on the cross in their eyes. But you know what it takes to be saved this morning? That phrase, believe in me also. The very fact that the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, that's what he's doing. He's witnessing to you. He's telling you, believe in me also. Look what he says to go on further here. Tie everything back in. I'm closing. In my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that something? Ties it back in, doesn't it? See, you don't have to be found naked at death. You don't have to be found naked at the rapture. In his Father's house, there's many mansions. You have an eternal home up there. You have an eternal home up there that your soul can inhabit. We get that new glorified body. You see the typology that it's giving here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If there was another way, he would have told us. If there's another way, why would he have had to go to the cross? That cross is important. Without cross, there is no open door for any of us. He loves us. He loves us that much. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place. Sister Sue, what I like is he doesn't stop there. For you. You know how personal that is? I take that personal. Brother Norman, I take that to mean me. Not everybody will accept what was said here, but everybody that's willing to accept that, he will give you the power to become the sons of God.
I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, remember talking about the earnest? That earnest money? All the inspection work and all that stuff's going on right now. All the landscaping's going on right now. What comes next? It's time to go home. It's time to go home. It's time to go to your new home. Get to see a lot of cool places and things like that. Brother Pastor, I can't wait to see that home. Here's the thing. It's already been paid for. You know, you can move into a new home down here, and your first thought is, I'm not looking for that mortgage. That home's already been paid for. What did it cost? We say it's free. It's free to you and me. It cost Jesus his life. It cost Jesus all of his blood. I go and I prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the next step in our life. Whether it be if we pass away, if we die, if we go by the way of the grave, or if Jesus Christ comes, that's the next step for every single one of us in this life. Now, I want to tell you this. You say, that's sad. It's not. It's not. This is the way this is designed. The Bible teaches us not what we want to hear, but it tells us the truth if we like it or not. And then what we decide to do with that is our choice. If we decide to prepare, if I could tell you, rain's coming, storm's coming, and all this kind of stuff, and if you choose to walk out of the house without a raincoat, that's up to you. But the Bible tells us it's coming. The Bible teaches us, and he tells us, I'm coming. He's coming back. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll ask the ladies to come. No place like home. I tell you what, it makes me excited to think about that. Father, we